Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Talking about bringing things back again, Cap Green is actually bringing streetlights back again. They're making streetlights great again, certainly on a trial basis here in Glen Hazel. It is absolutely remarkable. So we had this conversation a little bit earlier. I drove down a sunny road to see how that is looking. I was so, so impressed. And as I was talking about it, Mukundi jumped in and said, hey, so I'm not tripping because I couldn't believe what I was seeing near Galliard Park and the whole sunny road all the way down. And yeah, indeed, it is really, really remarkable. It's the little things that make us excited as South Africans, working streetlights. Woohoo! Anyway, but we do appreciate it because you don't know what you got until it's gone. Amanda Porter, CEO of Cap Green, a very good morning to you. I hope you're well.
Howard, good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you. So firstly, we're talking about, you're probably too young to say, what can we bring back? Haha, see what I did there? You know, we're talking about people bringing back analog phones and libraries. Anything nostalgic besides streetlights?
Goodness.
Okay, I put you on the spot, didn't I?
Yes.
You can think about that while we talk about streetlights. So, it's just actually incredible because driving down Sunny Road up Sunny Road towards Galliard Park, it's like a different world. What is this initiative? How did it come about?
Look, Howard, it's still part of our overall initiative, which aligns with CPTED. Remember, CPTED stands for Crime Prevention Through Environmental Design. And the goal is to solve the crime problem by solving the urban decay problem. And when it's dark, it's not safe. It's as simple or as complicated as that. We want to light up the streets because it makes us safer. And the sentiment is the knock-on effect, of course, and that's wonderful. But at the end of the day, the goal is really a crime prevention initiative. When it's light, it's safe. And that's really the starting point.
The other thing is that when it's light, we feel like we want to be out there. So it almost, in a way, putting streetlights that work and that give genuine light allows us to reconquer our own suburban streets.
Absolutely. And that you saw that happening with the park when we transformed Galliard Park. It brought people out from
yes.
behind their high walls and their electric fencing. And the same is true of lighting. When it feels dark, you want to bunker down and just stay still. It's immobilizing. And when suddenly you switch on the lights and it's brighter, it feels safer. People go out more and therefore the streets become safer because there's vibrancy in the streets.
It is remarkable because I have noticed that with the park that it's actually almost, and it's such a crazy thing, but it's actually changed our worlds and some of our behavior. I noticed that every now and then I'll get a call or a message from my wife to say, I'm at the park with the little kids, if you want to come past, and I'll go past. I don't think in my entire life of having children here in South Africa, I've ever got a message like that and then gone to the park to meet my wife there with the kids, and it's become sort of just it's becoming a little bit more normal. And then you go to the park and then you bump into other people and then you have a conversation. It is just the most unbelievable thing that in a way we didn't realize how isolated crime was making us. And as much as we consider ourselves as the Jewish community to be very community oriented, the factors around our lives, the realities, actually was making us much more isolated. What's your observation?
No, absolutely. You're 100% spot on. And I think that we started to accept it as normal. It was normal to bunker down. It was normal to be almost in a lockdown situation from 7 o'clock at night. It was normal not to go out, and we accepted that. And then suddenly you realize how counterintuitive it is, and you start transforming. And I guess the point is that we have to reimagine our neighborhoods. We have to reimagine what our streets can look like, what our parks can look like. It completely shifts the way in which we engage with the environment and with each other, and it's incredibly profound.
So let's just talk about how this initiative actually works, because the streetlights are obviously the responsibility of the city. Take me through this.
I mean, that is the magic in the process. And, you know, so often people say to me, but every time you fix something, every time Cap Green goes out to repair something, you know, you're allowing government to abdicate responsibility. The reality is that abdication has taken place. What you're doing now is actually activating the municipal structures. And these public-private partnerships are exceptional. And there are pockets of environments that really, really can work with you in a public-private partnership setting to restore and reinvigorate and reimagine what those neighborhoods can look like. So we're trying to pilot a number of things. We've got this bold goal to try and get every streetlight working and every pothole filled. And we've piloted a road, Oak Road in Glen Hazel, and we piloted on potholes. And we're trying to pilot the lights to see how we can scale it and take it into the entire suburb, but then beyond our suburb into many of the others. The partnership with City Power is really it's a public-private partnership. We've found that City Power is willing to work with us and to engage with us, and so we've managed to activate an element of government that's really happy to engage and transform.
How does it work beyond the installations? Because obviously in the first while, it looks fantastic. The partnership works well. What happens when things start to need maintenance? How does that work?
Look, because you now have formed a wonderful relationship with an element of municipality, you then have somewhere to go back to say, you know, street light number 7 on Sunny Road isn't working. Can you go and fix it? You have a contact. And we found that to be incredibly powerful. In the case of parks, by transforming the park, we formed these wonderful relationships with JCPZ, Joburg City Parks and Zoo. And when we need them to go into a Cheltendale Park or beyond into the Bryanston River Club Greenbelt, we know that they have some of the tools. They might not have the labor, or they might not be able to do an entire job. We'll call them up and say, we're going into Cheltendale Park on this day. Can you come and help? And then they're there. And that's how we work with them. So we do, because we formed that relationship is so incredibly powerful that we can engage with them. You know, after we transformed City Park, Galliard Park, the head of City Parks came to me and said to me, just tell us, when do you need us to come and cut the grass? Or when do you need, tell us, here's our cell phone numbers, phone us when you need us. So it really becomes a wonderful relationship and partnership. I think there is one more aspect, Howard, that is also very important, is the funding of it. And,
yes,
you know, you've watched various, I'm sure, over social media, this talk around how the elements of government are actually, or the city is bankrupt and there's no money. And I think that the funding is an important story. We're trying to figure that out, because at the moment we are deeply reliable on donors. And when donors give us money to fix something or to reimagine what the environment can look like, it's important for me to thank them, because they're visionaries. They're not just generous. They're
it's such a selfless. It's such a selfless commitment, because, you know, you can take that money and put it into your own home and make it as beautiful as possible. But here you're actually putting it into a public space properly for other people, which is obviously there's some benefit, but it really is an incredibly respect-worthy cause.
Absolutely. And, you know, they've done it so well. Like when we started the project a couple of weeks ago, and we found that there were irregularities in the wiring, and City Parks came in and said, we're going to do it properly. And the donors were all the best. Let's just get this done absolutely properly. So
Amazing. It's
enabling Amazing. Us to find out how things work, how they should be working so that they're effective. And then it's having an unbelievable knock-on effect. It's solving a crime problem. It's shifting sentiment. And it's helping every one of us to reimagine what our neighborhoods can look like. It's very powerful.
It really is. A couple of questions. Somebody asking, what about traffic lights? Is there any way you could look at a public-private partnership there?
So we're working with JRA again, and it's just these public-private partnerships are just wonderful. And we are working with JRA to look at how to improve that and whether to transform, in some cases, traffic lights into traffic circles so that they're not reliant on power. We've got some unbelievable assessors and inspectors at JRA who are really excellent at that and who have been doing it for 50 years. So we rely on
I love this. And I love the fact that in a way, I guess what it does is it shows government and government city organizations that, you know what, it can be, there is a space for excellence and there is a space for pride, because I imagine they're working and living in such a negative environment that all anybody does for good reason is complain, but at the same time that is so defeating. Whereas here there are pockets of successes and wins that must encourage them further.
Absolutely. And you can see that playing out just in Joburg City Parks and Zoo. Since the transformation of the park, they're like, which park do you want to do next? And
Amazing. They've
sped up the process in the adoption process,
mm.
you know.
Mm.
So it makes it easier for us. And the same holds true in JRA and City Power.
That is really great news.